Well, Father, I want to thank you for this. What is 10th day of April, 2018? Glory to God. And thank you for the sunshine, Lord. Maybe spring's going to make it. And we do pray for Helen, Lord, as she goes to the funeral of her friend and their move and all of the things that are going on in their life. And we ask your blessing and your healing for her eyes, Lord. And as they prepare to go to Lubbock, we're so grateful for the children that have gathered around them to help them, bless them. We pray for Shelley's daughter and the decision she's got to make. And Lord, today I just am inviting your Holy Spirit to come and minister to us in a way that keeps us clean and clear before you and one another. Lord, I pray so much for your church, O God, your bride, Lord Jesus, that it will be healthy and strong. There seems to be so much division nowadays and so much of a personality cult. Lord, deliver us from that and bring us back to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I had about four or five scriptures that I wanted to get to. I'd like to start again. I turned to the wrong place. In the Sermon on the Mount, if you wouldn't mind turning there, please. Chapter 7, verse 7, a very familiar text in the Sermon on the Mount. And when you boil down the Sermon on the Mount, you become very grateful for grace. Because if you look at it as a new law, it makes that Old Testament look like peanuts, you know. When what's expected when he says, "Be ye therefore perfect, as your heavenly Father is." But when I repeat it every time, because I don't want to forget what I heard from E. Stanley Jones years ago that was so healing and opened up the Sermon on the Mount for me in ways that I still am just rejoicing. When he said, it's not a prescription, it's a description of the resurrection life of Jesus. And that makes all the difference, because he's the perfect one. He's the one that can make you and I perfect. And that's magnificent. But let's pick it up in verse 7 of Matthew 7.
Tom.
Yes, ma'am. Well, anyway, verse 7. And again, this is very, very familiar. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it shall be opened. Or what shall a man there be among you, but his son shall ask him for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, he'll not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more should your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Therefore, however you want people to treat you, so treat them, for this is the law and the prophets. The thing that's so important, I think, about this, I apologize for not being a Greek scholar like Simoniar, but in the Greek, that word ask is a continuing verb. And I mention that every time. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. The reason this has meant so much to me over the years is I can remember someone had been taught by someone else, and they were out teaching people, and they're saying, if you pray more than once about anything, that first prayer must have been unbelief. And I can remember feeling very condemned about praying about the same thing over again, you know. And we all go through our growth process. But I'm so grateful when I began to realize that when Jesus says, ask and keep on asking, don't stop asking. There's something about the Holy Spirit within you. And I found that when I ask, seek, and knock, that when I ask, oftentimes my asking begins to change as I continue to ask. it's almost like the Lord is in the ask, and he's saying, I hear what you're saying, and I'm going to be with you, and my answer is to help you learn how to ask the better question or seek the better way. So that ask and keep on asking is very good, because as he says, he who asks and keeps on, they'll receive. And I've asked myself, well, what is it that we receive? Is it just the answer? Well, yes, but I don't want the answer apart from him. That's why I think he puts the therefore there, and he says, you normal fathers, you don't give your children a snake or something like that. The Lord gives us himself when we ask and keep on asking. He gives us his answer oftentimes is me. I think there are times when I've asked about situations, maybe with my children, with my family, with friends that are going through difficult times, and I've asked and I've said, Lord, why is it that they're going through this? Or how? And the answer is not the answer that I've been asking for. And the answer will be, I am their answer. They're looking for another answer, and I am their answer. I hope that doesn't sound like double talk. But I've found that the person of Jesus, that's why I love the Sermon on the Mount, because he lives within you and I. He's going to make us perfect. And, you know, and every day I think I pray and thank God for those, that little verse in 1 John. When we see him, we're going to be like him. For we're going to see him as he really is. So we ask, and as we keep asking, we receive. And he who seeks, finds. What do you seek for? What do you ask for? What do you knock for? Ask, seek, and knock. Again, continuing verbs. Ask and keep on. Seek and keep. What do you continue to seek?
Knowledge.
Knowledge?
Seek Jesus.
Jesus? Anything else that you seek?
An answer?
Well, the same would be for asking that. Yes, go ahead.
Forgiveness, all kinds of things.
Forgiveness?
Peace.
Love. Joy. The fruit of the Holy
Spirit. God, you get all that.
I'm sorry?
It's a good deal. You get God, you get all.
You get them all. That's true. So when you ask, seek, and knock, it's a continuing process of growing in relationship. I think one of the simple revelations that was so helpful to me, and perhaps to many of you, is that I began to realize that more than anything else, what Jesus wants with me is a relationship. It isn't that he doesn't want me to understand and know things. I think he does. But the relationship is most important. And when that relationship is flowing, it's amazing how easily we can be taught. Yeah, Al?
Just reminding me of scripture from Genesis 15 when God said to Abram, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. I am your great reward.
I love that. I am your reward.
Set the tone right there for relationship.
I think that's exactly right. Because as a human being, I want answers. And it's not that God doesn't want to give us answers. I know I've tried to say this so many different ways. But what he wants is you and I in relationship with him. And I want to trust him and come to peace whether I understand or know anything. Many times, I know when I taught here, and I was saying to Buck a couple of weeks ago, I realize, you know, and I don't think it's just that I'm 82, I keep repeating the same things. But the point is nonetheless true. I have found again and again that what God is after is knowledge, not knowledge primarily, or answers to my questions, but a relationship of back and forth. Prayer is not one way. And one of the things that's been so marvelous is to know that I'm a sheep and I hear his voice. Well, how do you do that? Well, you learn how to listen. Do you know how you learn how to listen? You get quiet. Close your mouth. Well, that's right to the point. But you're right.
Two ears
in
one mouth.
Two ears in one mouth. Amen.
I've heard it said that the minute you open your mouth, you cease hearing.
But you know, I can close my mouth and my mind can still be
I think it's, but I think that's the discipline. That's why I think this is a these are continuing verbs, because we realize the frailty of our old nature. But to ask and keep on is coming back again and again to the Lord, always coming back to Him. No matter what the situation of life is, I'm going to ask and keep on seeing. Or think of the church, is it Philadelphia in the book of Revelation in chapter 3, where he says, knock and the door will be opened. Well, the Lord, I don't know how else to say it. I've never known in my experience, and if you've had different ones, I want to hear it. I've never known the Lord to get my arm behind my back and twist it. I found that He always calls me to make a free will decision to ask, to seek, and to knock. That our free will is so blessed by God that we are free to ask and free to choose and free to seek. Yes, Buck?
Well, the other place, the ask, seek, and knock, in Luke 11, is to me the place I go, because I need to hear about persistence in prayer before I hear that.
Well, read it for us.
I'll go to it, but
where is it? Luke
11.
Unless it moves.
Now I have that problem.
But it starts off. He starts off with the Lord's Prayer,
right?
And then he goes to what I call persistence in prayer.
Yes.
Where he talks about, you know, if the friend that is already in bed, but you have somebody come in unexpectedly, and you need some food, and you don't have any, and you. The guy said, I'm already in bed. I can't help you, but you just keep on.
Leaving me alone.
Just
keep knocking at the door.
Keep knocking. And after that is when Luke shares about the ask, seek, and knock.
Verse 10, yeah.
So to me, I had to get my heart in an area, in a place of persistence to know, I don't. If I ask something and it doesn't happen immediately, I quit. Well, no, that's not what he's saying. He's
that's
saying be
right.
Persistent and believe that you will receive.
Well, I love the 13th verse says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the
Holy
Spirit to those who ask Him? I think one of the things you were mentioning, Pat, about it may not be verbal, but in our minds, I think that's what persistence is all about. You know, I'm going to say, mind, come back here. Come back. Because it wanders. Our mind wanders. And I think that there's a discipline that comes through the asking, the seeking, and the knocking to bring us back. Pardon me?
It keeps you focused.
It keeps you focused.
You've got to keep focusing.
Yeah, and again, it's the Lord is there to give us His resurrection life.
And, you know, I think there is a yearning that He places in us for Him. Or we will keep coming back.
I agree.
You know, there's a yearning that He has placed in us that cannot be fulfilled by anything else.
That's so true. I've often felt, well, we've mentioned it together. There are times when about 11 o'clock comes and we stop. And I remember being over at Helen's for years. And we just sit there. And we're wondering, well, somebody do something or say something. But we're in the presence of the Lord. And He's speaking to each of us in individual ways as a small little congregation of believers. God wants us to be able to think His thoughts after Him, to know His voice. And the Holy Spirit, I've never known to yell, and I think that's why we have in the Old Testament with the prophet, when he's in the cave, and there's a thunder and lightning and all sorts of huge things going on, and then there's the still, small voice. This is where I think the Lord wants to bring us, because you and I live in the cacophony of this world. The world, the flesh, and the devil is constantly after us. Now, be concerned about this thing. I'll give you an example, contemporary. What was it? I heard a complaint yesterday about the president and his attorney and the FBI. Now, whether that's right or wrong, the point is, getting upset about that doesn't help anything. And I have to bring my mind back, because we turned on the news after we were praying this morning, and I said, Barbara, we've got to turn the news off, because it draws me away from centering on the person of Jesus and his voice. His voice is more important than what's going on in the world. And we've got to learn that, and it's not an easy lesson to learn. But when we ask and keep on, there's a centering that's kind of bringing us back. And I love that, because what he brings us back to is the Holy Spirit. I was reading yesterday, or the day before, I think it was, about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And that what and John, you remember 13 through 17, when he talks about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and he says, I'm going away, but I shall return to you, but I'm going to come in a different form. And then we read in Corinthians where Paul says, you know, we don't know him after the flesh anymore. We know him by the Spirit. Well, if I had known Jesus in the flesh, I think I would have had a great problem. Just like the disciples did, say, wait a minute. You mean you're not going to be? No, I'm going to be here, but I'm going to be in a different form. Well, sure. Do you think they understood that? I don't think they did.
I wonder if that's not what he was doing in Luke 24 when he disappeared at the breaking of the bread.
I think that's a good example.
Is that those were his disciples, but he didn't want to be known after the flesh. He wanted to be known by the Spirit.
And the way it was through the breaking of the bread, which was, remember me.
Right.
And when you do, you'll know me by the Spirit. I think this is so important for our life and our growth in the Lord. He says that we're a sheep and we're going to hear his voice. That means that God continues to speak. One of the things that people have done to the Bible is they've closed it and said, that's all he's saying. God never shut the Bible. I think we're probably in Acts 84,000. He has never stopped speaking. It's just so important. Do you really want to hear his voice? Well, are you really serious about that? That's why I like the Luke 11 chapter where he's talking about, he knocks on the neighbors. I'm sorry, I'm in bed, and don't bother me now. But he keeps going. Keeps persistent. And that kind of persistence is what makes the Lord know you really do really want to hear me. You really do want a relationship with me. It's not just some sort of a fanciful religious belief system. You want to hear my voice.
Yeah.
Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. I was reading this morning and just got so excited again about it, and you'll know it as soon as we begin to read it. I'm going to begin in the first verse of Romans 5. We are justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. Now, wasn't Danny, didn't you just say to us earlier about progression in the Christian life? Well, here's what he says. And not only this, we exult in our tribulations. No, wait a minute. Okay, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance.
Got to be excited about that, boy.
Well, bring it up.
I mean, when you look at this, you begin to realize that there is process. And asking, seeking, and knocking is what brings you through the tribulations. Why is this going on, Father? I don't understand. I don't see. Would you show me the way? I want to ask. I want to know, because I want to know you. And out of that, the Holy Spirit begins to minister the resurrected Christ. Until finally, whether the answer is there or not, it almost becomes irrelevant. Because I know the Lord in it. You know, I've told you about the second time I had that cancer deal, and I was in such pain. And I quoted every healing verse, you know, that I could think of. And when I finally asked Lord, I said, Lord, maybe I have a low pain level. Okay, maybe I'm a sissy. Okay, I'll go there. But it was very, very painful. And I was crying. I shut the door. I didn't want Barbara to hear me. And I'm really big, pathetic. And he said, well, ask me. And I can remember saying, and I've told you this so many times, I said, well, Lord, what do you think I've been doing? I've been asking and asking and asking, will you heal me? This hurts. And he said, ask me. And I went, good grief. And then I said, all right, well, what am I supposed to ask you? And very simply, very quietly, in my spirit, like a little sheep, he said, ask me to bear it with you. And I did, and he did. And the pain did not go away. But I learned something in that little tribulation. Many have gone through far more difficult things than that. But the point was made to me. And it helped me understand a bit about God is more concerned about our relationship with him than what was you saying that song that reminded me of what Tommy Tyson said. I remember me telling you years ago when he said, I don't believe in salvation. I don't believe in healing. I don't believe in deliverance. I don't believe in redemption. And you can feel the oxygen leave the room. And he said, but I believe the Savior, the healer, the deliverer, the redeemer. The moment that you go from the theology to the person is resurrection life. And that's what I learned in that little incident. And many others of you have learned the same thing in different situations. Because he's saying here, we exult in our tribulation. Why? Because we know in the midst of that, what does the word tribulation mean? It means body, soul, or spirit. Pardon me? Troubles, difficulties. Well, I had some people tell me it can be all kinds of difficult, but it could never be physical. I'm sorry. That's what we were taught. Because Jesus at Calvary bore our sins, Isaiah 53 and 1 Peter.
He had certainly physical pain.
He must have, don't you think? But the point is, tribulation is difficulty, it's hardship in spirit, soul, and body. We talk about when Paul was tempted, you remember? And he said, I left Trophimus sick. And then he said, I came to Galatia because my eyes were bad. You know, and you want to say, well, didn't you know about the healing, Paul? The point is, humans edit out what doesn't fit their theology.
Yeah.
And I found that when the Lord Jesus comes, it's almost after the fact whether I'm healed or delivered or not, because I have come to know him in the situation. Boy, it got quiet. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's the relationship that is most vital. When you and I die, thank you. You know, Barbara was saying the other day, she was like, I was trying to get out of my chair. And I had to kind of rock. You know? And I finally got up and I said, I'm up, honey. Can I help you? And she said, no, I'm going to do it myself. She said, this may be Parkinson. And I remember somebody saying, don't admit you got anything. And she said, okay, I don't have anything. But it's still hard to get up. So she's rocking to get up. And I rock to get up. And then I pull her up. And we look at each other and we say, well, it's here.
It's here.
It's here. Old age is here. The point simply being is that the thing that my wife and I have experienced just in the last 6 months, and some of you have already been there, is that in the midst of whatever tribulation we're going through, we have found a joy unspeakable and full of glory. I cannot tell you the joy that I have felt at times when I've had to help my wife stand up. Excuse me, I don't want to get emotional about it, because I'm not saying I hope she never gets better. That's not my point. The point is, God is primarily concerned about our eternal relationship with him. And I'm so grateful. There are times when I've seen all magnificent things happen. But I find in the midst of difficult spirit, soul, body, relationship, any kind of thing, that's a tribulation. And he's saying to us, we have obtained, we exult Well, I didn't know about that exulting. Oh, that's just kind of funny.
It just but occurred to me what you were talking about. It just hit me. When you said this man, Mumford, he said, I don't believe in...
Tommy Tyson, yeah.
It just occurred to me, if you believe in the deliverer and the healer, then you're focused on Jesus.
Right.
If you believe in delivery and redemption, then you can put the focus on anybody. Mm-hmm. And anybody can claim to be a deliverer, a healer, and we've forgotten about and left Jesus in the dust somewhere. And I think that's where a lot of these different sects come from, because they've focused that onto a person and not the personhood.
Yeah, that's why I've said there's so much difference between having a belief system and having faith. Belief, you know, yeah, I believe this. We make the Apostles' Creed. It's not that they're evil, but until you act in faith upon those things, they're not real. They're just a belief system. I can remember reading a book that came out in the early 60s, I believe, and I'm trying to think of the guy's name. I think it was Vermeer, and it was called the Stepchildren of the Reformation, and it was a profound book, and it talked about how Roman Catholicism came in and coupled with the government, you know, and became much the government, and then the Protestant Reformation came along, saying, "Boy, that's wrong," but they did the same thing. Only now theirs was a reformed government, and Luther would talk about the right hand of the Lord and the left hand of the Lord was civil government. Well, that's just what the Catholics did, and they rebelled against it when the Catholics did it, but it was all right when the Protestants did it. So it's called the Stepchildren of the Reformation, and it talks about Menno Simons, and those people would meet in homes, you know. And rooms, never in buildings, were not part of the denominational thing. And you know what the Catholics did to the non-Catholics, the Reformers did to the non-Reformers.
Right. Right. Right.
You want to say, get a clue somewhere along the line.
Right.
But that's what happens when you have a belief system. We used to talk about the five steps of Calvinism, which are not evil, and I'm not saying wrong. Then it was the five steps of, oh Lord help me, 2 o'clock in the morning, I know all things. the other five was, what's the opposite of Calvinism? It was Arminianism, thank you. And John Wesley used to say, ask if he was a Calvinist or this, and he said, well, I do know this, that because I know the sun's going to rise tomorrow, doesn't cause it to. And the point of that he was trying to make is, don't base your life in the theology. It's got to come to person. And that's what Jesus is always talking about. It's what the whole book of Acts is always talking about. It isn't, I want to get your theology straight, and please don't think about theology. Don't think theologically. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the resurrection life of Jesus has got to be the basis of everything. It's got to have everything. Because he says you exult in your tribulation, knowing the tribulation brings about perseverance. What is perseverance? I will not give up. I will not stop asking. I will not stop seeking. I will not stop knocking. I'm going to ask and seek and knock until there is that which answers it. And the answer will always be, like it says in Luke 11, the Holy Spirit saying, I've got it, son.
That's why 1 Corinthians 10:13 is so practical. And
I'll quote it for us.
Well, it's that's where it says no temptation is overcome except with common man. But he said that. But God is faithful. Now that statement comes right in the middle before he goes on.
That's right.
And then he says, but he's not going to tempt you beyond what you're able or test you. That word is the same.
Yes.
And.
With the temptation.
With that testing, he will provide the way of escape. Not that you can just, it's over with, but that you may be able to endure it. And that's where this 1 Corinthians 10:13 and Matthew 11, where you have to invite him.
That's right.
You invite him in to where you are. And those two scriptures are extremely practical.
Oh, yes.
That it's not, you can get all wrapped up in theology, but when you come to that, it's real.
You know, when perseverance comes about, not because you're at the end of it. It builds you. I can remember playing football in high school, that there were people that would play it as long as it didn't hurt.
Uh-oh.
And I can remember our coach saying to us, it's when you play when you're hurt that you leave everything on the field. But perseverance is you just keep going.
Didn't Elijah persevere when he asked for rain? I mean, the first time he asked for rain.
Yeah, he's talking about Elijah.
It's also called tenacity.
Yes.
Well, what about the Lord Jesus? He prayed three times in Gethsemane.
Yeah.
And the answer was no, by the way.
That's right. And you know, people have often had difficulty with that because here he was the Son of God, but he wasn't in that realm then. He was as a man, and he didn't have all knowledge. He only had what the Father revealed by the Spirit to him. Same to you and I. And you and I will go through things that we do not understand. And if we persevere in wanting to understand rather than know Him, I'm telling you, life will be a difficulty. I want to read on just a few more. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So no matter what it is that God is leading you and I through, and we all go through difficult times. Sometimes it's, I like to just say body, soul, and spirit. It can be in a relationship. Between you and the Lord you go through, but you and your husband or wife or daughters or children or friends or neighbors, you're going to go through difficult times. I don't know of any marriage that's ever been worth its salt that hasn't gone through hard times. Difficult times. It hasn't been all sweetness in life. Now, if any of you have done that, give me the prescription, please.
Well, it's kind of like you said, you know. You will have perseverance.
Yes.
In all phases of life.
That's right. And he says,
you might, or you could, or it may happen, or it might not happen. But
you will.
If it does, he says you will.
Amen. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. What a promise. What a promise. When I couldn't deal with the things and the questions that are in my mind and in my heart, but when I constantly bring them to the Lord, the Holy Spirit is there, and I find comfort there.
Well, I'm just saying, for me, when I surrender it to the Lord, it's the right time.
That's right.
He can work it so it will be the right time.
And that is a process, too. I don't think I can just say this is the right time and it's there. Right. It's the process, isn't it?
Yeah. Right.
Of asking, seeking, and knocking.
Yeah.
It's just part of the Christian life. And the great joy in that is I think that that's when we become, what is it when you've got a sickness that you're afraid you're going to give to other, you become
contagious
for Jesus Christ. That's where I think Paul talks about we are either an aroma of joy and life or of death. But it's the aroma of life in us. And people don't understand why they want to be around you. I was at the store yesterday, and my wife, I've learned a lot about going to the store. But there are people that I see there. Some of them are employees or people. And I'll come around the corner, and they'll just come up and start talking to me. One of a lady, I won't use her name, came around the corner down by the soup aisle, and she says, "Oh, by the way, I've got to go to Texas today because my blah, 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 blah." And just pours this whole thing out, and I'm saying, what are you telling me about it for? And in the midst of that, just in my own relationship, the Lord saying, "Will you quit being so critical and just listen to her?" She needed someone to dump that on. Well, how do you like being the object of a dump? I'm dead serious. Some people... Yes. Yes.
It's a be or the dump or, you know.
Moving along.
I've been in the dumpster many times. Huh? I've been in the dumpster many times. Every Sunday I'm in the dumpster.
Every Sunday?
Yeah, my aide comes over and she dumps on me all this stuff. She just needs to unload. She's got four kids. She's
tired.
Very busy, very tired, exhausted all the time. And so when she comes work for me, it's like a break for her.
Isn't that something? She can stop thinking about herself. Mm-hmm. But she has to lay that stuff down somewhere. It's just so important.
So when the gals laid all that on, did she ask you anything or did you just...
Oh, yeah. After she talked for about, I'd say, 2 or 3 minutes, you know, about why she had to go and would she be able to get off work. And I said, "Well, what do you think you're going to do about that?" And she said, "I don't know, but as I'm talking to you, I think I got an idea." I didn't have some great revelation. There are times when I'll have something to say, but I'm surprised at how many times I don't have anything to say. It's just simply being there.
Have you talked to her before?
I've talked to her many times coming into it. Yeah, she knows me, yes.
I just hear again, sometimes when things are brought to the light, the answers come.
I believe that. Yeah. And Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light. When I'm not, you are the light.
Mm-hmm. And that's how they taste and see the Lord's good.
I believe that's absolutely right.
He said something very profound in passing.
I better write this down.
It'll be on there. You asked if she talked to him before. And you said, "Yes, we've talked many times. Quote, she knows me," unquote. This is what God wants from us. This is what Jesus wants from us, to know us.
It's absolutely right.
For us to know him.
Isn't that something?
And that's...
And without a relationship, that never would happen.
That's right.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I just...
many times.
It's just so many times I've learned going to the store. And this is so simple. I got all these things on. I got my list. Don't get in front of my list. I'm still hunting for the cereal roll, you know. So you understand. It's just...
I'm so glad that you didn't try to give her a solution. Because she wasn't asking for a solution.
No. She didn't even know she was she didn't know she was asking for something, but when she poured it out, light came.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've read several times, but that's the thing with women, is that we don't want our husbands to give us a solution.
I just heard an amen over here. You're absolutely right. You know, I don't know how many times my wife has said to me, "Honey, I just wanted you to hear me. I didn't want an answer."
Yeah.
And I say,
"Well, they don't seem to remember that."
Yeah. Well, we may
do it inside, but we do it
We're trying to solve the problem.
What problem, Sally?
We have selective amnesia. What can I say?
Yeah. We're trying to figure out
you're right. KK, I've been through that. You know, and as a husband, I want to learn. But oftentimes it's amazing because I am a problem solver. That's what I do with my children.
Right. Yeah. Men are fixers. Yes.
That's right.
Wonder who made them that way.
Yeah, right.
What then? KK, let me pick on you for a minute.
Okay.
What do you really want then when you're talking?
An ear.
Yeah, I agree. An ear. Just
why? What good's an ear?
Well, that's just how women are. We just want to share things.
Get it off our
chest. Get it off our chest, you know, and share.
I'd like to hear from the lawyer.
Also, you intimated
we can often solve things, talking them out.
Yeah.
And things become
get
more
it out here.
Apparent. Yes.
That's
kind of our problem-solving way.
I have done that in front of a mirror and got mad.
You better take notes.
Is it a woman?
Yes,
you're talking to somebody you trusted.
That's what we do. Is women talk out loud. A mirror is a great idea. Women talk out loud to get, and you get an answer. A lot of the times, you that's what I need to do.
Yeah. Well, I know that this woman, when she went away, was just delighted because she didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Well, as a man, I'm thinking, oh, how am I going to answer her? I don't know what to do. I don't even know this problem in Texas. I don't even know all of these things. It's irrelevant. If you listen to the person is more important than the problem. And until we begin to have those kinds of relationships, we don't shed much light.
It's inviting somebody into our internal conversation that we're having with ourselves
right.
all the time.
That's right.
We're laying aside ourselves.
You have to lay aside yourself, yes, otherwise you hear nothing.
That's
you just hear yourself.
Getting involved in the messy other people's lives.
Yes, it's true. It's about worry.
Okay, this has ruined so many marriages, mm-hmm. I feel. That men retreat when women start, and that hurts women. And you know, when the man retreats to the woman, it's well, you don't care, or you know, we imagine all these things. And men want to be problem solvers. I think that has damaged many marriages, not understanding that.
Yeah.
Taking it back to the Lord on Thursdays, I have a Bible study that requires homework, and. And when I get to a point doing my homework, I have no idea what the answer is. I'll take my walk, because I walk every day, and I'll take my walk and I'll get my answer while I'm out there.
Amen.
Because I commune with the Lord, and He gives me my answer, and I come back and I can finish my homework.
To go to her husband for those answers, but instead she mm-hmm. goes to the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, I just think this is... it's so amazing, but God demonstrates His love for us. Is that me?
No, it's backing up. There's a wide load backing up outside.
The vehicle in the parking lot.
The reason is, I'm not used to these hearing aids yet.
You're hearing us.
Yeah, you got to change your battery.
I did yesterday. Change your batteries, Tom. Much more, having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if while we were enemies, verse 10, we were reconciled to God through the death, how much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. That's the whole point of asking, seeking, and knocking. It's to move from the place of just abject slavery to sin to slavery to the new life in Christ Jesus. And
the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Tom, here's a neat parenthetical thing here. I'm in the Amplified.
Yes.
And it says, I'll go down to, well, for if while we were sinners, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, it's much more certain now that we are reconciled, that we will be saved, daily delivered from sin.
Says dominion.
Through whom we have now received and enjoy our reconciliation.
Amen.
Brings it into a personal.
Isn't it something? And the thing that it always amazes me, and maybe it goes back to what we were talking about men, are problem solvers. If I hear a problem, my first response is a desire to solve it. And what the Lord is saying, I want to change your first response. It's not that it's evil or wrong. It's just that it's not in the right order. I want you to learn to hear me, and then your responses will find their way out. I wanted to go to a whole new text, but I don't think so. It's almost 11. And anything anybody would like to add? Well, I just think this is so important.
Not by chance that Scripture tells us that in the Old Testament the kings would say, we've got a problem with this country over here. They're threatening us. And the first thing they did is, let's go and ask God if we should go to war. Because our first response was, we need to go to war with these people and take back our property or whatever. And he said, and the first response was, let's ask the Lord.
That's right.
What should we do?
And people don't ask the Lord first anymore. And the thing is, it's been mentioned here so many times, is in one situation of warfare, God will say, do this. And then we think, now I know the ways. No, you made a mistake. The next time you're going to have to do this. In other words, it's a constant relationship. And that's what God's after with us as Christians, as followers of Jesus, is it's moment by moment. Isn't there an old gospel song we used to sing, moments by moment, I'm saved by His grace? Well, that's true. That's where He wants us to live, because that's where the revelation is, that's where the life is, that's where the answers to life and difficulty are. It's always in the moment. Well, Father, I just want to thank You that Jesus Christ is Lord, Savior, Redeemer, Healer, Deliverer, Wisdom, Knowledge, Joy, Peace, Hope, and Love. He is all of those things. And forgive us, Lord, when we become more theological rather than simply worshipful. Enable us to always worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Worship our Father who is in heaven. And Father, when we pray the simple prayer that He taught us to pray, I pray that we don't rush through it because it's so familiar, with that kind of contempt that can come from familiarity. So Father, when we say, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed, holy be Your name. May Your kingdom come. May Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And all the brethren said, Amen. Amen.